Today, in the hymn that we sang to open our service, when Jesus came to Jordan, the words kind of inform our thinking for the day. When Jesus came to Jordan to be baptized by John, he did not come for pardon, but as the sinless one. He came to share repentance with all who mourn their sins, to speak the vital sentence with which good news begins. These words echo the questions that have been asked down through the centuries about the baptism of Jesus. Why was Jesus baptized? Why did John the Baptist have to baptize Jesus? After all, baptism was for the remission, the forgiveness of sins. It was a preparation and a getting ready for the coming of the Messiah himself, and Jesus is himself the Messiah, so why would Jesus be baptized? Why would Jesus need to go to the Jordan River and be baptized by John? That is a question that has plagued the church for many years. Indeed, even during the period of the writing of the Gospels themselves, the question came up, why would Jesus be baptized? Why was it necessary? Why did it occur? And how are we going to deal with it? Because it became something of a scandal. In the early church, in the New Testament period, there were two communities. There was the Christian community, the Jesus people, and then there was the John the Baptist people. And they were, in many cases, overlapped, and some of the John the Baptist people were Jesus people, and many of them had come from the John the Baptist John the Baptist community, but some of them existed and continued independently for quite a while. Indeed, in the Acts of the Apostles, we have an account of someone who was preaching about Jesus, but had only been baptized by John the Baptist, had not known baptism in the name of Jesus, and so had to be taken and further instructed. The John the Baptist community sometimes felt a little bit at unease with the Jesus community, and the Jesus community felt a little bit uncomfortable about this fact that Jesus had been baptized by John. And you can see that throughout the Gospels, in the four Gospels. One of the things that we've been doing in our pastoral Bible studies over the last couple of years has been looking at the Gospels. We spent a year on the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're spending a year on John now, and it's been a fascinating study. And one of the things we discovered in our cross comparisons on John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke is that each one deals with the baptism of Jesus differently. The first Gospel written was the Gospel of Mark. And in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we have his rendition of the baptism of Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Now, that doesn't surprise us. That's what we've seen. We've seen it in many movies. We've seen it in artwork. Jesus goes down into the Jordan River. John the Baptist is there. And it depends upon your background. If you were Baptist or Church of Christ, Jesus gets dunked. Whereas if you're Protestant, Catholic, Methodist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Presbyterian background, or Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox background, Jesus would go down into the water up to about his knees or somewhere close to his hips, and then John the Baptist would pick up some water and pour it, especially over Jesus' head. Indeed, we have iconography and we have paintings and drawings from the catacombs in Rome even showing Jesus being baptized by standing in water and having that water sprinkled or poured over his head. This is an image that we're used to. We're used to seeing this. We're used to hearing this. This is not a problem for us, more or less. But in the early church, in the New Testament period, in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, it would appear that it was an increasing problem. Because as we go through the Gospels, as we go from Mark to Matthew and Matthew to Luke and Luke to John, we discover a growing desire to push the event away. What do I mean by that? Let's take a look at Matthew. We heard Matthew read today. Now, Matthew may not have been written before Luke. It may have been written after Luke. But in the sequence we're looking at it today, we'll look at Matthew first. In Matthew, again, it was 3:13 through 17. I want to pick it up with 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Okay, that's pretty clear. John would have prevented him. Ooh. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, woo. So first we have, Jesus, I'm not going to baptize you. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, this is how we fulfill all righteousness. And then John the Baptist consents. And then you expect it to say, and John baptized Jesus. No, it doesn't. And when Jesus had been baptized. It almost skips over the event and simply tells you it happened. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. So we have first Matthew telling us that John said, no, I'm not, I really can't do this. And Jesus saying, yes, you must do this to fulfill all righteousness. And John consenting. And then it skips the actual event and says, when Jesus had been baptized. So it pushes it away a little bit from the immediacy of Mark's presentation. Let's go to Luke. Luke tells it in 3, beginning at, we're going to pick it up at verse 15. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. Yet again, John the Baptist being placed in an inferior position to Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them by shutting up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased. Did you catch it? With this little side remark about Herod and about John the Baptist's arrest, Luke conveniently skips over Jesus' baptism again. It skips to it. It says, now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized. It casts it again into the past tense. So yet again, a little more pushing away. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of your sandal, Jesus. And then not even the event itself, but the reference to the event. Let's look at John. John covers this in chapter 1, beginning, let's pick it up at verse 24. Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. Interesting. Luke recounts the same thing as John here. This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. Yet again, John the Baptist being given a lesser position than Jesus. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. The next day, John again was standing with the two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, look, here is the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. There was no baptism. John's gospel does not contain, not even, and Jesus was baptized, or when Jesus had been baptized, or after Jesus had been baptized. No. There's not even an indication that it occurred. John the Baptist had been pushed way back by John's gospel. John the Baptist has been given a subservient position, has pushed way back by John's gospel. Yes, the Holy Spirit, the dove descending is referenced, but the actual baptism itself is left out. That was one of those aha moments. I had never noticed that until last year when we read this in disciple class, in Bible class. It's a fascinating thing to note the development and the growth and the understanding of the church over a period of time. From Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan to not even making reference to the event. Dealing with the question of Jesus' baptism has plagued the church, not just in the first century, but all the way through to today. Why would Jesus be baptized? Is it just to show that we ought to do the same thing? Is it to set a pattern for us, an example for us? Or does it have some intrinsic quality to do with Jesus affirming this event, this method, this way of entering into the family of faith? Is it an example of Jesus saying, I approve of this, this has my seal of approval? Is it Jesus empowering the event, the water and the act of baptism, to give it the ability to become a sacrament? All of these possibilities, all of these examples, all of these explanations have been voiced. I like all of them. And yet at the same time, I think none of them fully explicate, fully articulate the reason why Jesus was baptized. I think that maybe we grasp it a little closer when we realize that Jesus, quite frankly, is one of us. He's a human. He is a person, a man from Nazareth, a Jew living among Jews in a world that rejected Jews. A man who came to live amongst the people. A man who was born to proclaim the love of God. Yes, to reveal the face of God. But also came to live and experience with us the difficulties of life in the streets. The difficulties of love and of joy. And yes, of sadness. The tears of life. He experienced temptation, he experienced joy, and yes, he experienced sadness. He experienced all of our living and what it means to be us, because he was one of us. And he was baptized. He was baptized to remind us and to share with us and experience with us the call to repentance that we too have. I was looking at the news this weekend. It was amazing how things just happen and scream out at you. And the horrible shooting in Arizona, the death of all those people, the injuries of others, and the evil sickness that would grip someone to do it. I watched that and I thought to myself, how can we face a world that is so ripped apart by this kind of evil? we face it with the love of God, which comes to be baptized with us. We face it with the love of God that comes to be with us, who lived and taught with us, and who died for us. We face it with the love of God whom we call Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Son of God, the beloved Son of the Creator. We face the evil of this world, the sin of this world, with Jesus at our side and within our hearts. Oh, some people have a problem with that three-letter word, sin. Some people have a real problem with it. They're sick and tired of hearing fundamentalists pick up them Bibles and wave them at them and said, "You're a sinner." When in reality, they should be waving that Bible at themselves. We are sinners. And when we realize that, we don't need to be listening to anybody waving a Bible at us. The recognition of our failure, the recognition of our own fallen humanity, the recognition of our nature as sinners, and that's an uncomfortable word. I know it's uncomfortable for many. But the nature that we have as sinners calls us to recognize that we have no business waving a Bible at somebody else. Instead, we should be turning to God, seeking a new path, a new walk, a new way, and asking God to move in and through us to change us, so that we can then face the evil and sin of the world, the evil and sin that would shoot other people. This nation, this world, is torn apart, is polarized. We're not listening to each other. We're not talking with each other. We're shouting at each other. And we need to be putting on the grace of God, putting on the presence of Jesus, living in the baptismal presence of our Creator, and welcoming others and reaching out to others with the love of God. That's how we face the evil. And that's how we face the sin of what happened in Arizona. And that's how we should face every day, with the presence of the baptized Christ, willing to stand in that water and receive yet again that grace and be identified as the Lamb of God. Let us go forth and proclaim that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let us go forth and proclaim the good news of the love of God, baptized for all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.